All right, so trust that this is properly done. All right, let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. All right. So yeah, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus." So obviously we know that the word places does not exist in the original. So we're taking it out, and we'll discover that that text actually says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word blessed actually means to speak well of someone. So it's just to praise. When you bless God, you're just praising God, or to speak well of God. So, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ." So, the heavens are in Christ. Or to say, once you are in Christ, it means you are in heaven. So when he says the blessings are in heavenly places in Christ, not like the blessings are somewhere up in another sky, on another planet anywhere. It's actually saying that we are in Christ. That's what he says when he says in heavens in Christ. So the heaven there is in Christ. So be in Christ. Then now says, according as he has chosen us in him. So that word according just is like a follow-up of what he was saying previously. So if we check the original, how it was rendered, we discover that both verses are actually a continuation. Like this is just a translational arrangement here, where they divided verse 3 from verse 4. So we just read it together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heaven in Christ, just as. So that's just as, or according, that's the word according, just as he has chosen us in him. So this just as now gives you what's it called, gives you a mindset to tell you that it's about to explain what these blessings are. So it says, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So we can say that he's explaining what the blessings are. So the choosing, for God to choose us, all right, in him before the foundation of the world, is the blessing. It now says that we should be holy, we should be without blame before him in love. So all these things is explaining the blessing, because the blessings are not mystical. They are not things that we do not know about. Say, what are my spiritual blessings? Oh, I'm blessed with spiritual blessings. And those blessings are so many. And now have to now take them and now exchange and translate them to become physical blessings. The blessings are not meant to be translated. They're not currency. They're not, they're not something else. They are just blessings that are in heavens, in Christ. And it says we have them in Christ. So once we have Christ, it means we have the blessing. So as he has chosen us in him, is the blessing. It's not like, there's spiritual house in heaven, and then you now bring it and make it a material house. Or there's spiritual dollars in heaven, and then you now trade it and become, no. Because I was hearing someone saying that that all these preachers that are preaching against material prosperity, and they are preaching against this spiritual blessing, that it's only spiritual things. It's all about preaching the gospel, saving souls, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, and growing the knowledge of Christ. That, are you just saying that we should just be doing all these spiritual things? All these spiritual blessings just be hanging there in the heavenly places. That we cannot bring them down to it. What are they doing there? They should just be hanging there. He said that out of ignorance. And that's what happens when you're ignorant of something and you think you know. And you're speaking to people, especially when you speak to people that know something. What you are doing is that you are unknowingly disgracing yourself. Yeah, you're actually disgracing yourself unknowingly. You think that you are making sense, and sadly, you are exposing your ignorance to the people that they are listening to. I heard of someone that, when he was teaching his flock. Now, I don't want to say the name of the church, but it's a very prominent church in Africa. And this church happens to teach something like new creation, but they are more very, very funny people. Most of their singers today actually sing the gospel songs, the new creation gospel songs we have today. I'm sure by now you should know the church I'm talking of. So one branch like this in the UK, this pastor is preaching, and then some of their members began to listen to Dr. Abel Damina. And as they were listening to Dr. Abel Damina, they began to spot the faults in what this guy was saying. And sometimes they are tempted to just begin to, you know, react to what he's saying. Because when you have now known more than your teacher, it can be a problem. It can be. I didn't say it should be a problem, but it can be a problem for those who are not well taught, you know, when you know more than your teacher. So they are able to spot out this guy's loopholes. They are able to see this guy's, the mistakes he's making in what he's teaching. And they're wondering, what are you saying? And they know they've listened to Dr. Damina before. They feel so sad about it. But you see, thankfully, they were respectful. They didn't react to it in a bad way. Like, I remember I was in the church, and then the pastor was talking, and he was teaching very seriously. And the thing is that what he was teaching was just off. And he was teaching, he was so serious. At the point, he now looked at me, he said, "And you know that the Bible says this, 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 this." I wanted to laugh. I wanted to laugh. I wanted to laugh. God knows. I don't know the self-control that helped me that day. I was looking at him like this. Hey, if I laughed, that would have been the end. Hey, that would have been the end of it, because it was so bad. I was like, "What? God, if I have the notes, it's in my pocket. I still have the notes written down. You just take scripture and just boom, 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 and say anything." So the thing is, I respect the pastor, I honor him, everything. But you see, that thing he was teaching then, I say, "God, why will you do it now?" You understand? And that's what happens, especially when somebody becomes arrogantly ignorant. You are so arrogant. You don't want to, you just feel like, and that's the problem. And when you do that, people realize your mistakes, they realize your flaws, it just looks like, you know, you are looked upon as someone up there, and then suddenly it looks like they've looked at you down, and that's not too good. That's why we must be careful when we are reading this Bible, so that we do not put our place in a situation like that. So that preacher, obviously, he did not do well by doing that. He's making a mockery of someone. At the end of the day, he's actually mocking himself more annoyingly. But what can we say to these things? Christ is preached nevertheless. We thank God for everything. So these spiritual blessings are spiritual in nature. Actually, the word spiritual means of the spirit. So, or from the spirit. That's the word spiritual. So blessings that are of the spirit, or that things that are not necessarily tangible. So it now tells us that he has chosen us in him, verse 4, all right, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, and having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein has made us accepted in the beloved. So we are accepted in him. These are the spiritual blessings, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins. That's verse 7. According to the riches of his grace, wherein had abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. It now says in verse 10, or let's read verse 12, that we should be to the praise, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest rather of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So this last one now tells us of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. That's the seal of the Holy Spirit after we believe the gospel of our salvation. So it says we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that's a fact. That is something that does not change. And it says the earnest, verse 14, the earnest. The word earnest there is the word that means guarantee. It means guarantee. So having the Holy Spirit inside of us is the spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ. And the Bible says it is every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. You know, every spiritual blessing. Someone was saying, understand, yes, that salvation, yes, we understand that salvation is there, but truth of the matter is, I didn't know what that things too that God has given us. I didn't know that things to talk about. And I told the person, see, that's the only thing to talk about. Because that's the scriptures, that's the Bible, that's the message. That's all that God has given to us. There's nothing else. What do you want to talk about? There's nothing. There's nothing to talk about. Rather than what Christ has given to us and who we are in Him and what we can do because of that. So then Paul, look at verse 16, says, verse 15, says, wherefore, all I also, after I heard of your faith in Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. So Paul now brings up another point here where he says, knowing that we have all these spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, or knowing that we have Christ, or knowing that we are now in Christ, because instead of enlisting all these spiritual blessings, I can just say, I'm in Christ. So instead of saying, I have redemption through His blood, I have been chosen in Him, I have this, I have that, I have that, I can just say, I'm in Christ. Because in verse 3, He has already said, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. So to have Christ Jesus means to have all the spiritual blessings. And then all that enumeration is talking about Christ Jesus. So since we have Christ, or since we have every spiritual blessing, Paul is now saying, there is something I now do. So the knowledge of Christ makes us to do things. The knowledge of Christ is not just to make us to just have it. Someone say, I'm in heaven already. I'm seated in heaven. There's nothing else to do. It is done already. There's nothing else to do. No, the knowledge of Christ makes us to do things. All right? It makes us to do things. So Paul is saying, because I now know this, I do not cease to make mention of you in prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He says, He may give unto you. So having known that we have all things, there is now something to give unto us again. Now, what is God giving unto us? Is He saying that God is adding to our spirit? No. But what is God giving unto us? He's talking about the fact that something should be found in our actions. That is the giving there. The giving there, for instance, if you are giving to prayer, does not mean that, you know, somebody is giving you prayer. You understand? You are just giving to prayer. You are giving to prayer. It's an action. All right? So someone says, okay, God gave me a job. It does not mean that God threw a job for you from heaven. No. It's that it was found in an activity. You went for an application. One thing happened, another thing happened, and then you found yourself working. That means God gave you a job. Or you say stuff like, I gave my money to God. You do not see God anywhere to give Him money. It just means that you are giving it to the ministry for activity. So when He says that God should give to you the spirit of wisdom, He's now saying that wisdom, the wisdom of God, should be found in your activity. So He's praying that God's wisdom, so it's one thing to be in Christ, and it's another thing to be operating in God's wisdom. All right? So now, obviously, I just corrected it. I said it wrote spirit of wisdom, but it's just actually meant to be the wisdom of the Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit already. The Spirit of God has everything. So it's actually the wisdom of the Spirit and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now the word "and" is the word "kai." Obviously, we know about the TSK rule, where, you know, the word "kai" is used to conjoin two words that mean the same thing. So when it says wisdom, or when wisdom of the Spirit and the revelation of Him, and the revelation in the knowledge of Him, is saying that the wisdom of the Spirit is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, so just like John 3, as I always use, John 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man be born of the water and the Spirit. The water is also the Spirit. So, and it's just a word that is conjoining two words that mean the same thing. Same thing with King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The word Kai, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So King of Kings is the Lord of Lords. Or another example would be Ephesians 4, where it says it gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Then it now says pastors and teachers. Now, if you check the original, you discover that it says it gives some apostles. All right, it now says, and prophets and evangelists. But the word "and" in between apostles, prophets, evangelists is not kai. It's the word "de," and "de" actually just means "moreover." Okay, so those are actually different offices. Now, but he now says pastors and teachers. The word "and" teachers, the word "and" there is kai. That means pastors are teachers. So there's no pastor that cannot teach. Every pastor should be able to teach. So it's actually pastoring teachers. Praise God. So that's what it means here. As the wisdom of the Spirit in the revelation of Him. Praise God. Yeah. So then, verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." He's now explaining this revelation of Jesus Christ. He says that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. There's so much inside of us that Paul is praying about, that these guys will see. Paul is praying about his disciples. He's praying about the saints in Ephesus. That's verse 1. He's praying about the saints in Ephesus. He's telling you what prayers can do. That means you can pray for someone and the person's eyes of understanding is enlightened. It's not just for yourself. You can pray that this person's eyes be open to the light of the things that are in Christ Jesus. It says, the eyes of our understanding. No, doesn't mean that our understanding has eyes. Hallelujah. That's why I always try to tell people that, you know, this Bible is just full of, you know, a lot of figures of speech. It says, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Look at it again. What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and all that. So now, his prayers is such that there should now be an understanding of who you are. Okay? It's one thing for us to know that we are saved, we are the righteousness of God, and it's another thing for us to now know for a truth that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. What separates people who can teach the Bible, right, and people who can both teach the Bible and demonstrate the power of God is knowledge. And it's not head knowledge, it's revelation knowledge of Him. It comes by prayers. And Paul says that we should know the riches of this knowledge. It is rich. And it comes by prayers. It is so rich that it comes to a point where you know in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit, every part of your body knows that you are alive in Christ. Every part of your body, you just know. Someone cannot, has no ability to deceive you again. No, but that is, you understand for a shorty that, Jesus said to me, I love Bensin Dahosa. Bensin Dahosa said that when he heard about Jesus Christ says, go and lay hands on the dead and get them raised, he started looking for, I don't know if you've seen that clip somewhere.
I've seen it.
Yeah. He started looking for the dead to raise. He went about. He said he tried it once and twice and all that. It didn't work for him. It didn't work. But really, it was all about him understanding the reality of it. And as he went more and more and went for it, he discovered that he grew and he was able to find the ability to express the power of raising the dead. It comes with prayers. It comes with that prayers to know that I'm holy. Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know if you've been in a point where you're just meditating on the scripture. It can just be Jesus Christ rose again. And you're just meditating on the scripture. You're just thinking. You're just pondering on the scripture. He rose from the dead. Yes, it's just simple. But when you meditate and you pray, and I will even encourage you to do that. You just stay one scripture. You stay 1 hour on it. Prayers. Oh, Jesus rose again from the dead. You just start praying. He rose again from the dead. You're praying on that scripture. There's something that will come to you that you just, it's going to hit you. He rose again. Ah. So that when you hear it again, you know that it's not just ordinary words. That's what differentiates a man that can teach the Bible and a man that can both teach and demonstrate the power of God. Oh my God. I tell you the truth. You know, because that's what some of these people always fight for. They say, you're always teaching. Show us the power. It's unbelievers that do that, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how many Christians do that, sha. I know believers do that, but it should not be so. Even Jesus Christ was saying, the Gentiles seek after signs. Gentiles, unbelievers. Show us a sign, show us. The question should be, what is he saying? What are you saying? That should be it. Even before signs and wonders and all that. That's important, please. But majorly, it has to be, firstly, understanding the scriptures. So Paul says that the eyes of your understanding may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, all right, towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, when he says according to the working of his mighty power, it's a strong word. Exceeding greatness, rather, is the word hupabalol. In the Greek, it's spelled hupa, H-H-U-P-E-R. Hupa is a word that means hyper, or something that is much more greater than its expectation. So, hupa balol, that's exceeding greatness. So, exceeding and great, they're like, what do you call this thing? A tautology. Exceeding and then greatness. So exceeding and great. It's not only great, but it's exceeding. All right? So Paul says that your eyes be enlightened, you may know the exceeding greatness of his power. So watch this. When you are righteous, righteousness is not just a virtue you have. It's a virtue, but that virtue is exceedingly great in power. When you are holy, it's not just holy, but it's exceedingly greatly holy. All right? Are you there? You are not just accepted. You are exceedingly greatly accepted. So it's not a thing of, oh, I'm righteous, I'm holy. No, I am powerful. That is, having Christ means I am righteous. It means I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm accepted, and all that stuff. And it means I have the power of God. That power that raised Christ from the dead. That means to be righteous means you can raise Christ from the dead. Or rather, it means that you have the power that raised Christ from the dead. That righteousness is the power that raised Christ from the dead. And someone will tell you that sin will take it away. No, it's not possible. Anyway, the power that raised Christ from the dead. Praise God. Someone said, I thought you were teaching on prayers. Why are you teaching on righteousness? Praise the Lord. We're teaching on righteousness, so. But righteous prayers. Amen. Now, let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew. Oh. Before that, please, I would like someone. Okay, not someone. Let's all go there. Let's look at Mark 16 first. Mark 16. Mark 16, 15. Which one? Do you know Ebuka is? Do you know Ebuka is? Ebuka. Okay. All right. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and this sign shall follow them. Verse 17. That believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So this is Jesus Christ giving his disciples a word, a charge, telling them that, you know, these signs will follow you because you believe. These signs will follow you because, you know, you believe. You shall do all this stuff. So these are just signs of a believer, signs that are found in a believer. All right, and I know that we are doing Gifts of the Spirit series, and we have also enumerated the gifts of the Spirit, including the gifts of healings and all that is found here as well in Mark chapter 16. So these are things that are embedded in the believer. Then look at Matthew 28. It's still another account of the same scene. So Matthew 28, 19. Matthew 28, 19. Are you writing the scriptures down? Yeah. Eh? Okay, cool. So what you do is, as I'm teaching, you write it down. And if there's something that I said that you think you need to remember, write it down, okay? All right, Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go ye therefore, go, like we're going this evening, and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the age. Okay? Now, notice that Jesus Christ uses the word teach a lot. Look at verse 19. It says, go ye therefore into the world and go ye therefore, and teach all nations. Now, the word teach is a word that means to make disciples. Mathateo in the Greek. Mathateo is spelled M-A-T-H-I-T-E-O. Mathateo. I'll spell it again. M-A-T-H-I-T-E-O. Mathateo. Mathateo is a word that means to make disciples. To teach people, to make disciples, to make people to learn. To learn. No worldly music in church. Amen. Okay, are you there? So it says teach in verse 19. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Then look at verse 20. And now it says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So there's a teaching to observe. Alright? All things that I've commanded you. So for you to be able to walk in the power of God, there has to be a teaching. That's the only way. You know, when, let's not go to that teaching anyways for now. In Ephesians 4, however, when he says he gave some gifts to men after the resurrection of Christ, obviously, Ephesians 4, in fact, let's look at it. Ephesians 4. It says, For we are near. All right, Ephesians 4 verse 11. Look at it. It says, and he gave some apostles. Obviously, this is after I read. Okay, let's start from verse 7. Yeah. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. This is after the resurrection. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, that he might descend. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, verse 12 now says, for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right. So, the nature of God's power works through teaching. In fact, there's no way. No people that come up and say I'm self-made. All those guys that act like they're self-made, no one teaches them. I just got the revelation. Like one guy comes up on social media and says, they say, who look at the guy comes to say the Bible and the Quran say the same thing. They're the same God. We're all serving the same God. Then someone asked him. I won't tell you who the person is. Someone asked him, said, excuse me, sir, these revelations you have is so great. Please, how did you come to this understanding? And then the guy said, I got it from God himself. And this same guy teaches that you don't need any teacher, you don't need any pastor. You don't need any pastor. So the guy now asked him, he said, so what makes you think that anybody should listen to you? He couldn't get any reply. You're teaching people that you get the relationship from God. You don't need any pastor. Don't need anybody to teach you anything. And you want people to now listen to you. So what are you saying? What are you doing? Why are you deceiving yourself? Why are you deceiving yourself? We cannot deceive ourselves. You see, the way God wants us to grow is only through teaching. Hallelujah. It has to be through teaching. Where he says he gave some apostles. That apostles is not a person. Say, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. No, that's not what he's saying. That word gifts is the word doron, and it's the word that means, you know, it just describes, you know, expression. So that's in context. Are you okay? Okay, charisma is for 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah. There are other ones. I think I mentioned some the other day, if you remember. Mentioned doron, mentioned the charisma. I mentioned the there's this one again. You guys remember now? It's not the people that were listening.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? You are the one that was typing it.
If I don't remember,
I think you
didn't see it.
Should we go to the lesson? Should we go and build the recording?
Victor, do you remember?
No, I don't.
I mean, Victor
doesn't
I can just bring the recording there. Just you are the one that I wasn't typing it.
Me.
Me. There's charisma. There's doron. And there's doria. How can I be forgetting gifts like this? What is forgive? Even the one that they gave to Jesus Christ. We say it's mace, frankincense, and something. Where in Hebrews it says he should bring gifts and sacrifices and all those things. There are different words used for gifts in the Bible. Okay? There are different words used for gifts in the Bible. However, anyways, like we are saying in this context, this one actually describes the activity or the expressions of the resurrection of Christ. So the expression of the resurrection of Christ is found in apostleship, is found in prophecy, is found in, you know, evangelism, and is found in pastoring, that is shepherding, that is teaching. All right, so is the only way. Now says for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the perfecting of the body of the for the equipping of the saints. Right, okay, so that's the way we all grow spiritually. That's the way we all are able to do things that God will have us do. So now, Jesus Christ said we should go and teach all nations. So that tells us that every believer must be a disciple. Every believer must be a disciple. You can't be a person that just roams around like a sheep without a shepherd. You know, that's the way God wants to watch over you. Someone say, God, where are you when we are this? God is in men. God is not somewhere. God is in men. He's found in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not Christ in the sky. He came from heaven to earth, from the grave to the sky. Which sky? Which sky? What is he doing there? Is he talking to birds? Is he the one that is, you know? Do you understand? He's in us. Christ ascended to us. Christ did not ascend to the sky. Why am I teaching this morning, this afternoon, this evening? Then, so hallelujah. So we are all disciples, right? One thing to also note is that the fact that Jesus Christ says you go and teach means that teaching is an attitude. Teaching and learning is an attitude. And it's much more than just writing notes. It's much more than even preaching. Or it's even much more than even religiously studying the Bible. You know, sometimes we can get too used to church activity that we forget what is actually, you know, spiritual growth. We forget. It's actually a thing of the heart. It's a thing of the heart. Spiritual growth is a thing of the heart. Discipleship is not, it's a thing of the heart, though. I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Some of us are so used to everything. It's time for this, it's time for church, it's time for morning devotion. Oh, it's good, but make sure that in your heart you really want to grow. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Prayers. I thought I was doing prayers today. What is this guy doing? Prayers. I don't understand this kind of prayers. Luke 10:38.
Hey, I was there from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Did not see you at 3 p.m., my brother. What are you saying? I did not mention names, so thank God, though. So nobody will judge me. Judge not. Luke 10, verse 38. All right, Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, this is Martha and Mary. It came to pass that as they entered into a certain village, a woman named Martha received him into her house. So Martha, we know the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was the person cooking, and Mary was the person that was seated at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see, there are differences between those two people. There are differences between those two people. Martha, the one that was busy, and then Mary, the one that was listening to the teaching. When he says he sat at Jesus' feet, does not mean that Jesus Christ was sitting on a couch or something, and then she was then sitting at his feet. No, sitting at his feet is metaphoric for being subject to hearing something. So you're sitting at his feet. Or like you say, worship at your feet. Doesn't mean that you're worshiping at Jesus, God's feet. Have you seen his feet before? You know, it just means that you're subject to him. You're learning from him. All right? Praise God. So say, don't worship at his feet. You're worshiping him. Revelation. You know, we worship at his feet now. We worship at the revelation, at the subjection to the revelation of his resurrection. So we're worshiping at his feet. So, Martha was learning. I say Martha. Martha was, somebody was teaching that, you know, Mary was all these people that used to be too spiritual. That's why she did not have husband. It is well, though. Look at Acts 22:3. Acts. Just an example. Look at verse 3. It says, I am a man, a Jew born in Tarsus, at a city in Sicilia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. It means that he learned from him. That's why it says, and taught to the perfect man, perfect man of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. So it just means to, you know, learn at, you know, the feet of someone or to be taught by someone. All right, praise the Lord. So one thing that we see believers taught in the scriptures after the resurrection is prayers. Okay? We see people, as much as we are taught about the revelation of the resurrection, we are taught about prayers too. Jesus Christ was a man of prayers. He was a man of prayers. Look at Luke 3:21. Luke 3:21 shows us how he prayed during baptism. This is during his baptism. Yes. We are driving our prayers. We are talking of prayers. Talking about prayers.
Luke
3. Luke 3. Verse 21. Alright. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened. Now we see Jesus Christ praying. Look at Luke 5 verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. So we see Jesus Christ praying. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke 6 verse 12. And it came to pass that in those days he went up into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus Christ. When he says all night, you know what a Jewish man would mean by all night? In a Jewish man's calendar, the night starts from 6 p.m. and then ends at 6 a.m. So actually what he's saying is that Jesus Christ started praying from 6 p.m. and ended his prayer at 6 a.m. So that's 12 hours prayer. That's Jesus Christ. So, you know, some of us, I have some friends that don't believe in prayers because they are new creation. They say they have all of God. They don't need to pray because, you know, Jesus Christ, blah, 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 all that stuff. Some people even say, well, in Nigeria, well, everything is prayer. Everything is prayer. Like, I've not seen the great nations that they don't pray, but you see how they are doing like this. Well, the truth of the matter is, I think that on one area, on one angle, I can understand what they were trying to say, you know, in the sense that we are praying for the wrong things. But as well, they too are pointing out the wrong things, and they think that prayer is for the wrong things too. So, prayers is not for your nation to get better. It's not for anything to... Prayers is really for something else than for your nation to get better. You know, we cannot pray that Nigeria should, oh, you know, better economy, all that stuff. Really. It's not a function of prayers in the New Testament. You know? So it's not about... someone said that it's not about prayers. It's about thinking. No, there's prayers too as believers. There are things to pray for. We're going to see that in a while, in a short while. Okay? Now, one thing to note also is that Jesus Christ taught prayers. Right? Jesus Christ taught prayers and Jesus Christ prayed. Look at Matthew 5, verse 44. Matthew 5 verse 44. We are still going into what the apostles taught, but before that we are looking at what Jesus taught. So Matthew 5 verse 44. But I say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So you pray for people that do what? Despitefully use you. Are you there? You're praying for people. That's Jesus Christ teaching us and others. Now look at Luke 9:28. Says, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. Listen. He took Peter and James and John up to a mountain to pray. So Jesus Christ did not only teach people how to pray, but he showed them prayers. And obviously we know that at Gethsemane he was praying and then you were sleeping. Now, that's fine. Luke 22, verse 44. Is Jesus praying? And being, are you there? Luke 22, verse 44. I'll start from 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Then verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Why was Jesus praying? Jesus Christ was not praying for promotion. He was not praying for his nation. Jesus Christ was praying for the will of the Father to be done. He says, let your will be done, not my will, but let your will be done. That is what Jesus Christ was praying for. And we see the agony in his prayers. We see the agony in his prayers. Yeah. It's a recording, though, so you have to be fast. Yes, we pray for the wrong things.
How about people who claim that they prayed, like, let me just give an example, like students who prayed that, oh God, help me this exam, I'm not ready, this, that.
And then God helps them, all those things. All those things can be explained, really. They can be explained. It's not that God cannot help you in non-ministerial things. So, yes. So Jesus Christ was praying for men. He was praying for the Father's will to be done. That is primary. That is primary to our work. So Jesus Christ was praying in agony. Now, I want us to understand that he used this writer uses the word agony here. I don't know if you've ever prayed for someone and then you cry. Have you ever prayed for anyone? Has anyone ever prayed for someone and you're just crying? You've prayed for someone and you're crying. So you guys never cry when you are you guys born again? you know.
Sometimes. I don't think it was from.
Yeah. You don't think it was from.
Nothing.
You don't think it was from the spirit. Just think because you emotional.
Yeah.
Well, thank God you say you don't think. It's not me that said it. But the truth is, in the spirit, there's this thing that comes to you when you are praying for somebody. It can, at a point, it's like you feel, it's not an emotional feeling necessarily, but you feel something much more intimate and deep for that person. You are praying, but you know that it's not your issue, but it's that person's issue, and you are praying just, oh God, Alaba Sante Brevete. Oh Kraman Santala. You know, last night, before we came to church, ask Ibuka, ask him. You think he's not around. Sorry, I didn't mean that. I'm just using a figure of speech. He's not here. You know? So, you know. Ask Ibuka. How should I ask Ibuka? All right. So ask him. I was in the house, and if you are someone that is a stranger, you think that I'm fighting with somebody. You need to see. I was praying. Which day was this? I was not praying. I was just singing in the Holy Ghost, rejoicing. After I finished, he said, "Why were you shouting? What happened?" I said, "Nothing now." I was shouting. I said, what were you shouting about? I said, nothing. I was just shouting. He was wondering whether something was wrong. Because truly, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Truly. Because there's a way you pray, you just feel that it's like, you just want to tear your body. You are entering into a different territory. You're just seeing something. Sometimes it can make you to run around. You're just running. Ah, you're shouting. Ah.
And you're not praying for a devil, you're not casting out, it's not Satan. Devil, you must leave my compound, you must leave my destiny, you must leave my, I break every back of poverty, I break all those things. No, they are just praying for souls. Sometimes you don't even know what you're praying about. You're just praying the spirit. Ah, lekabasa kata, and you just get into somewhere. You are just shouting. You are just I told someone, I said, if you see me praying, God knows you will be embarrassed. If you see me praying the way I want to pray, the way I love to pray, you'll be embarrassed. That you'll be like, ah, my God. Ah, never. Never. You'll be embarrassed. There's nothing cute about praying. Nothing cute about praying if you really want to pray the way Jesus prayed. And obviously, we know that you have neighbors, so you might want to be mindful of when you are praying or how you are praying, where you are praying. Sometimes, if I want to pray, I go to somewhere. I go to, you know, in the UK, there are many, everywhere is usually quiet. If you make noise anyhow, they'll call police on you. You know. So what I do is, they have some flyovers where there are bushes and all those things, and no matter how you shout, nobody will hear you. I just go there sometimes. I'll go there, shout, pray. I'm jumping. You need to see me. I'm jumping. I see something's wrong with me. You need to see me. I'm shouting. And truly, there's something you are feeling. It's like you are seeing someone, you just want to kick them. It's like your senses, the senses beyond the physical are waking. It's more than just, oh, Father, I just sense something in the spirit. It's not that kind of prayer. Just say, God is hearing me. It's not that kind of prayer. And the thing that some of us do is that sometimes when you want to pray, you will lie down your bed, say, God is hearing you. You just stay on your bed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You have not started. You have not started. Say, God is hearing you. Are you hearing yourself? God of mercy. You understand? Usually you sleep off. I try not to kneel down when I'm praying. See your face. See? Yeah? Okay. I always make sure I stand up when I'm praying. And you know that when you're praying here, you stand up. When we are praying together, there's no sitting down. We will stand up. We all stand up and pray.
So you stand up and pray over Zoom?
No, that's Zoom now. That's Zoom. What are you trying to? What are you doing? You know, so really, there's agony in Jesus' prayers. I want you to understand the nature of his prayers. He says his sweat were like great drops of blood. I don't have the medical explanation for that. I don't know. It has something to do with the heart, I know, but how to explain it, I do not know. You understand? It's that understanding of a burden. And this burden, please don't carry people. See, you have to understand, because I know that some of us, we are already discipling people, or if you've not yet started, you will be discipling people eventually. And try to understand that when you have a burden, take it to yourself. Go and do it on your own. Unless you have a prayer meeting with people normally. I heard of one guy. He just came for a meeting. My brother told me this. He came for a meeting. The welcoming prayers, or the, you know, when you travel somewhere, you enter the place and say, okay, let's just sanctify this place. Father, we thank you for a safe journey. I heard that the guy took them for 6 hours. 6 hours in prayers. I'm saying, you don't do that now. If you have a burden, go on your own and pray. Or you tell people, you inform people, let them prepare their hearts and their minds to pray that long. You understand? So, but really, there's a burden in prayers. There's a burden that comes with prayers. Prayers is much more than just imitating that activity called speaking in tongues. You know, if you speak in tongues, just go, you have not started praying. When I see people that say that, I'm critical by nature, yes, and I feel like it has its advantages. I mean, there's always a boundary to everything.
but I tend to just pick out some things. And I notice that if someone is when you are praying or you are doing, oh glory to God, sin, they're just speaking tongues in this place, I can easily tell the person's revelation knowledge in prayers. You can tell. And when you've prayed, when you've given yourself to that prayers, when you see someone that has not prayed, you will know. And that's why many people that joke with tongues, check their prayer life. You discover that it's just like this. Most of them, they tell you that I prayed for 6 hours. Go and check the 6 hours. You say they'll be drinking Pepsi. They'll be sitting down. Do not put songs. Hallelujah. Dan, dan. He turned it. Now go back to the Laba Center. You are not seeing. You're just joking. You're just joking. For real. You never start. You know? But really, really, it's a serious matter. Prayers, yeah? Just leave it though. Leave it. When you want to pray, you pray. That's why I don't use music for prayers. When you want to pray, you really, really pray. And one thing to know, prayers does not change human will. Okay? You don't pray, for instance, you want to marry somebody, you don't pray for God to God change their heart. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft, really. Humans don't respond to prayers. Human will does not respond to prayers. But God can influence people. He can persuade people. Right? God, prayer doesn't change people's will. Doesn't change them. It's not good. And the thing about raising voices as well is that, like I said, you have to be careful of your environment. You should know where you are. Sometimes, I don't know if you've seen me in Zoom meetings, I'll cover my mouth like this. Has anybody seen me doing that? Oh, yes. If you have seen me, if you open your eyes, you see me sometimes, I'll cover my mouth because I know that I don't want anybody to hear me. Sometimes, if I have a cloth, I'll just take it and cover my mouth. Because I know that I really have to pray, but I cannot do it. I just have to cover my mouth. Because I know if I shout, everybody will hear, and it's not good. You see? I'm sorry?
They don't pray.
No, they do. But the thing is, the way I pray, it's not peculiar to me. But if you are praying the scripture prayers, it's not this conventional kind of prayer. It's not just oh krobo shantekis kombravata. Usually when you want to engage yourself in prayers, it involves your heart. And when something involves your heart, it has a way of making you it makes you to do things. It makes you to react in certain ways, like raising your voice. You're shouting. You just find yourself shouting, ah, yeah. Nothing's wrong with you, but you're shouting, and there's emotion in the spirit. You know, because as you're doing that, you're taking care of some certain things in the spirit. Your prayer, you're shouting. Because now you have ascended from the physical to the spiritual. That's why in the book of Acts, when they were praying, the Bible says people abroad, they heard. I said, what is going on? Are these guys drunk? What is wrong? Are they mad? Because they were not normal. They were not acting just, you know, if you're just like this, oh, skatini, bramados, skatini. What I goes, James, give us some tongues. Rebadosh, katanim, rabados. Oh, yes, Peter, give us some tongues. Kimadoshka, emadoshka. Philip, give us some tongues. Rebadosh. Thomas, give us some tongues. Thomas probably be doubting. You know, all that stuff like that. You know, give us some tongues. That's not how they were behaving. That's not how they were behaving, to be honest. It's not how they were behaving. They were praying in such a way that it was so unusual to everybody. Everybody shouting, And they are speaking in tongues and they are interpreting. So people are saying, I'm hearing it in my language. Someone say, they are drunk. Someone say, what is going on here? It means that there was a way they were praying that was not natural. It's called the new tongues. The word new, I've told us before in this Gifts of the Spirit series, that the word new means is something that has never existed before. New tongues is the word kainos. Yeah, kainos is spelled K-A-I-N-O-S. It's found in Mark 16:17, where it says, "And they shall speak with new tongues." That word "new" is the word kainos. It's the word I was using in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. You might want to write faster than that if you want to go at the pace that you can best. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, where it says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. That word "new" means it has never existed before. Unprecedented. If you are speaking Chinese, you're going to be like, Chantu skin tu titi tu tu titi tu tu. Now we understand that's Chinese. That's normal human language. They're speaking Igbo, there's the way you sound. They're speaking Hausa, all that stuff. Yes, they have their own mannerisms. But you see, it now says new tongues. It means that if you're speaking these new tongues, it's not going to be normal now. You think they were speaking Labaush Kentin, Brabadoush Kentin, and people were saying, are these people mad? No. There was a way they were behaving that was very strange. It was strange. It was crazy. The place was shaking. It was shaking. That is boldness. Ha. Huh. Boldness comes from prayers. I'll show us in a bit. Just give me a minute. So I was talking about raising your voice in prayers. So it can happen that you just raise your voice. It just happens. Okay? And John Wesley said something. I would like us to write this down. He said, there is nothing that God does on the earth without prayers. Even bringing Jesus Christ himself, this is me talking now. Even bringing Jesus Christ himself had to do with men that prayed. If not, Jesus Christ would not come. Can you imagine? There is nothing that God does without prayers. Nothing. Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. It's not prayers, though. I hope you don't look at time. Let's not bother about those things. I know. Don't worry. We got this, okay?
So that's without the prayers of men.
Yes, without the prayers of men, God will do nothing. Right? Look at Acts 1:14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts 1, verse 14 says, these all continued, obviously this is after the resurrection. Remember I said that the apostles also did prayers and they taught prayers. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and mother of Jesus Christ. Alright? Obviously, this is where they also chose the apostles and all that. It was after prayer. So they were all praying. It said they continued in prayers and in supplication. Sorry, close my notes. Right. Look at Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. What does it say?
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers.
And they continued in prayers. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Don't worry, I'll read it. It says, now Peter and John went up went up into the temple at the hour of prayer. Right? That's the hour of prayer. So they had a time for prayers. The apostles had a time for prayers. That's what Jesus Christ taught them. So it's good that we should have a time for fellowship and prayers. Praise God. Like we have every day. That's called the hour of prayers. Whichever one. Now let's see Acts chapter 4, verse 22-23. Acts chapter 4, 22-23. Then we'll jump to 29-31. So Acts 4:22-23 says, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle was of healing was showed. That's the man that was healed at the gates. So it says verse 23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now let's read verse 24 anyways. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven. So they started praying. Now let's look at verse 29-31. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants with boldness they may speak your word. What are they praying for? For boldness. They are praying for boldness. One thing to note is that prayers does not stop persecution. You know how we always praying that Boko Haram should stop. It's not, that's not prayers for torture. They said with boldness. Even though Boko Haram, we pray that we don't like it. Nobody likes it. But the truth of the matter is, prayers is for boldness. Not really to. Jesus Christ promised us persecution. So they pray for boldness. Then look at verse 30. It says, by stretching forth your hand, thy hand, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Alright, that's for signs and wonders. So you pray for signs and wonders. And then when they had prayed, the place was shaking, and they were all assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you can see it's about boldness and speaking the word of God. Now, I will stop here, but I will still continue later on these things. Stop here for now. Give me a second. I want us to see Acts chapter 13. Acts 13:1. It says, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, and certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, that's prayers, and fasted, hallelujah, fasted in the New Testament, says the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So you can see that before they chose Barnabas and Saul, they were found in the place of prayers. Now, I spoke to you about starting a work, Sunday services, right? Did I tell you about it? Yeah, okay. I spoke to her. I think I spoke to someone else.
What's that service?
Sunday services.
Okay, yes, you did.
Oh, I did. So, you see, that kind of stuff, those are things that, you see, the reason I'm not rushing is not because I cannot start it. The reason I'm not rushing is simply because I understand that I must pray and fast before I make decisions. Not like I don't know what to do, but just pray and fast. When you're praying and fasting, answers come, direction comes. So before you make any decision in your life, it's good that you take your time to pray. Pray about it. Fast and pray about it. So that you'll be found in the will of God. You're about to relate with someone. You feel like, oh, do I like this person? Pray about that kind of thing. Pray about it. It's a job for you. Pray about stuff like that. Pray about things like that. These are things that you pray for. But primarily, prayers is for ministry. It says, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the ministry that I've called them. But they are found fasting and prayers. Fasting and praying. Hallelujah. So this evening, we're going to pray for 30 minutes, as we said. We're going to pray. And we'll see that usually when you spend much more time in prayers, there's much more revelation, there's much more awakening that happens to you in your spirit. There's much more that happens. You discover that it's not just about being born again. Yes, that's it, but it's about knowing that you're born again. Remember, I started with Ephesians 1. It's about knowing that you're born again, and that comes in the place of prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, praying always. Someone was saying, it's not about the length of prayer, it's about the quality. Someone just told you to pray always, and you say it's not about the length of prayers. praying always, always. Sorry, it says pray without ceasing, not praying always. It's Ephesians 6 verse 18 that says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So let's rise off it. Okay, you have to go by four. Okay.